a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Well, George, broadcasting live from Highway Cantina in Edo. We're still working on this large march. We're making a good dent, though.
Yeah, it is. I think we've gotten through a third of it.
Yeah, now the problem is because we're doing a show where the ice is melting a little bit, so I think it's making it harder to tell how much we've actually drank.
Well, no, but if the ice melts, doesn't that mean there's more in there?
That's what I mean. It's refilling itself because the ice is melting.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Whatever the case, we're probably going to be a little sauce by the end of this bad boy.
Yeah. And
want to pass me that water, please? There we go.
And we're getting some chips and salsa here as well, so thank you guys for having us out here at Highway Cantina in Edo. Make sure you stop on by before the game, after the game, during the game. Great place to come and watch your Astros or get a couple margs in before the game starts. That's Paul's go-to now going forward. It's mine. My wife's mad at me now.
She's mad at you?
My wife's upset with me.
Why?
Because I just sent her a picture of this margarita.
Ah.
And she's upset. She's at work, and I'm also at, quote, work.
We are at work.
We are at work. Drinking margaritas.
This is a hard job. You know, a lot of people talk about what a blue-collar worker I am. You know, some people are like, hey.
That's how you got on the board.
Hey, getting on the oil rig and, you know, going out on a platform offshore, like, that's a tough job. And it is. And some people are like, you know, being a firefighter or a police officer or a construction worker is a hard job. And it is. And some people are like, hey, you know, miners have it pretty hard. And that's true. But, guys, sometimes I have to talk for 3 hours a day.
While drinking a margarita.
That's hard to do. Not everybody can do that. But, I just pull myself up by my bootstraps, and then I just show up. I'm a hardworking man.
Speaking of hardworking men, Ime Udoka, Rafael Stone, they met with the media yesterday.
Please, for the love of God, tell me they did not bring up baseball cards.
They did not.
Look at the back of Dylan Brooks' basketball card. He's only punched people in the you-know-whatsies two times a year.
Now, look, if that was on the back of his basketball card, I would buy more basketball cards.
The NBA has adopted sacks as a new statistic.
Like, that would
Draymond
be
Green leads the league.
I would love that. Like, I would absolutely buy those basketball cards if they added a sacks category for the NBA. But Rafael Stone and Ime met with the media. I thought they were surprisingly refreshing and honest. I thought their breakdown and their view of what they saw from guys like Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, Amen Thompson, Cam Whitmore were all very interesting. A lot of this press conference was focused on Jalen Green and the future of him. But we've talked a lot about Donovan Mitchell as a potential candidate for the Houston Rockets.
I mean, we've talked about him, but neither of us want him.
No, neither of us want him. Or the idea of the Rockets going out to get somewhere else, that like they might want to push into what they call Phase 3 by making a major acquisition this summer. Rafael Stone was asked basically just that. If they feel there's a need to add a big piece to this roster during the offseason, here's what he had to say.
I don't know that there's like a we need to go get. I'm also not sure that we're at a stage for our team that we're thinking we need to go get. I do think it's very important that all of our players, not just our young players, but that all of our players get better individually. Like that's probably our primary focus. It's not to say that I'm not going to be aggressive this offseason looking at things that potentially make our roster better. I absolutely do that. It's probably the most core part of my job, but we're definitely not feeling the pressure of we need X. I think we feel good that we have a well-rounded roster with lots of talented players, and a lot of it is on our current players to add to their skill set to get a little bit better.
I thought that's an interesting response to just be that most GMs they don't say they're going to go pursue guys, but what I hear from Rafael Stone there is we are very comfortable with where our roster at and what we saw developmentally in year one of this roster with Ime Udoka, and that we don't feel the need to go after Donovan Mitchell or Paul George is a name that's being thrown around there. I saw yesterday as soon as the Warriors got eliminated from the playoffs, people suggesting that Klay Thompson could be an option, which pass for the Rockets this offseason. I don't hear I don't know if it's the demeanor and the tone of his voice in which the way he's talking to the media there, but I believe him when he's saying that of like, yeah, I mean, we don't need to go do that. It doesn't mean they won't, but they clearly at this point, they feel comfortable with where they are at as a roster and don't want to make a move that's unnecessary, I would say.
That's good. I don't feel like there should be any impatience a la what we're seeing to a degree from the Houston Texans right now. But, hey, the Texans made the playoffs. They made it to the second round. They ran into a team that was a bad matchup for them. And they looked at themselves this offseason and said, we're going to get way better from last year to this year. And they've made a lot of moves. And there is a case to be made that they have improved themselves. There are some holes that they need to fill. But the Rockets aren't that close. Mm-hmm. They're not that close. We still are figuring out if Jalen Green is the kind of player that you can build a roster around. We're still figuring out if Halpern and Şengün is that guy as well, though I think with Şengün we do feel that that is the case, both of us. Mm-hmm. There is no reason to rush. Donovan Mitchell is rushing. So I like hearing that from Rafael Stone, who is a guy that I have given a lot of grief, and I know, Joe, you've given a lot of grief.
Yeah.
I am willing to have a fresh start. I'm not going to apologize because the Kevin Porter Jr. stuff is still, to me, just crazy, mind-boggling that they were trying to turn him into James Harden 2.0. And I do think that Stone's qualifications are lacking to a degree. Mm-hmm. But they have done a great job over the course of the past calendar year. And if we're changing our opinion on the Houston Texans dramatically over the course of the past calendar year, I think we can do the same thing with the Rockets going forward.
Agreed.
And they just have to have a different strategy than the Texans. And so I like what I heard from those guys right there.
Yeah, and part of what I think I hear, too, is, you know, just my opinion of this, is that we're not going to go after a guy who's not going to be worth it. Like, Donovan Mitchell's not worth it.
I don't think so.
You just go with Jalen Green. Now, Brian Windhorst was on ESPN yesterday.
Mitchell reminds me of Harden to a degree.
Yeah.
Volume scorer.
Dude, I think he's
ball dominant.
Like perfectly in between Jalen Green and James Harden. That's who Donovan Mitchell is.
Probably closer to James Harden, but
no, for sure. Yeah.
But that's somebody you add to a star that you already have.
100%.
Who's better? Like that's say the Bucks didn't go get Damian Lillard. Mm-hmm. Like that's the guy that they should have gone after.
Yeah.
Now someone like that.
Speaking of the Bucks, Brian Windhorst back on it already because this year has been a colossal disaster for the Milwaukee Bucks. They had to fire their coach like a third of the way into the season. Giannis is likely going to be out of the playoffs, or at least the start of the playoffs.
A colossal disaster. I mean, they're the 3 seed.
I mean, they fired their coach.
They're still the 3 seed.
I know.
They can't say it's a colossal disaster. Like they're going to make the playoffs with the 3 seed.
They are.
They're going to have a home game, home series, the first series. It is crazy that they are behind it's crazy to me that the New York Knicks are the 2 seed.
It's just the fact
East,
like,
but
you hired a coach and fired him that quick for Doc Rivers, who like himself said he doesn't know why he's the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. But Brian Windhorst is suggesting, who is typically, I would say, on the forefront of this stuff with being right about his speculation, that Giannis might not be a Milwaukee Buck next year. Like, now that's where this is a different conversation of Giannis versus Donovan Mitchell. You want to go all in, put your chips in, and go to phase 3?
Yo,
go for it.
Listen, if they want Giannis, see where we're at right now? Just show them the highway cantina.
Yeah.
I mean, this is legitimately within walking distance of Toyota Center. It is 0.2 miles away. It's a 10-minute walk. Giannis loves food. Mm. Have you seen Giannis' house Chick-fil-A minis?
Yes. And what's his favorite thing? Is it Oreos?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what he said it was?
Listen, there's all sorts of amazing food in Houston. That is how we get Giannis here. Also, remember this. Hey, who did Giannis hire to work with not too long ago?
Hakeem Olajuwon,
over the course of the past calendar year.
Good call.
I would move mountains for Giannis.
Yes.
I love him as a human. I love the way that he plays because he plays football and he's a basketball player. if the Rockets got Giannis, I don't care what it takes. I don't care what it takes, and I'll help him.
Yeah,
I'll help him.
As long as Damian Lillard's not coming back in the deal, I'm good with it because he stinks now.
Is he not bad?
He's not bad. He's just not. He's not. He's
well,
not,
he said he stinks.
He stinks to Dame
standards. He stinks. He's not bad. He can't say that.
No, he stinks to Dame standards. Like, he's not. Like, Dame time doesn't exist anymore.
It does.
It seems like. Like, it's just not what it was. I don't know. Watching him play, the defense looks worse.
Well,
he looks slower on offense.
The defense has always been putrid.
That's what I mean. I think it's worse than it was before.
Hang on. Where is he right now?
Look at Damian Lillard, like, versus what he was in the past. Like,
16th in the league in scoring.
Yep.
He's shooting 35% from three. That's not very good.
He's just not. He's not who he was in Portland. So, like, I wouldn't want him back in the deal if they were to go after Giannis.
But yeah, I don't think that would. I don't think they're going to trade both players. No.
But I would say at
Dylan
this
Brooks
point,
for Giannis straight up. Who says no? No one, because that's the greatest defender in NBA history.
I think a lot of people would be really upset if you got rid of Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, I would. I would be. Honestly, I'd shed a tear. Wink, wink. If they traded Dylan Brooks straight up for Giannis, but you know, sometimes you gotta make things happen.
From the 713, what if y'all also had to take Thanasis? Okay, yeah, I'll take the lesser.
I will take Thanasis.
Isn't there a third Antetokounmpo as well?
I will take Giannis's entire family. I don't care. Like, if it takes, I don't care.
I'll take all three.
This team had Deshaun Nix on it last year.
Yeah, come on.
You could carry some Antetokounmpo brothers.
Strong start for the Astros.
Hire his
today.
Dad and mom.
J.P. France gave up a single, bloop single to Acuna. They got called for a balk. So, strong start to the day.
His mustache looks stellar.
Yeah. Does Giannis get to wear number 34? Sean, you're allowed to talk while we're on remote, but thank you for the text.
I just didn't want to come barging in.
Thank you. Does Giannis get to wear the number 34? I mean, he worked with Dream, but I think the answer to that has to be no. I don't think you can allow another Houston Rockets player to wear the number 34 ever, even though it's Giannis. Dream would have to publicly give his support of that. I don't know. It's not like the 99 for J.J. Watt, which no one should wear. This number is actually retired. That would offend me. And I'm not even like a – we all know me. I'm not born in Houston, but that would offend me if someone wore the number 34.
I think you can bust it out of the Raptors for Giannis.
It's a top 12 player of all time, probably top 10.
This is going to sound controversial. I don't give a damn. You just give it. Look, he gets to continue the Houston tradition of 34s.
Oh, that's what Paul says right now. Can't wait till Drake May wears number 12 for the New England Patriots this year to see your reaction.
Well, that's different.
Okay.
That is different.
That's so different.
It is different.
Speaking of
Tom Brady won three times as many Super Bowls with the Patriots as Hakeem Olajuwon won titles.
Okay, all right.
And just he went to
keep digging.
Nine Super Bowls? No, I'm not digging at all. Tom Brady is God. He is my Lord and Savior. And Hakeem Olajuwon is, I think he'd be more than willing to let somebody else carry on the tradition of number 34,
okay,
which is a Houston thing.
It's
Nolan
true.
Ryan's done it. Earl Campbell's done it. Uh-huh. Hakeem's done it. What's wrong with Giannis doing it, too?
Well, no one's done it in the last 30 years.
Yeah, well, I guess perfect time to bring it back.
All right.
The 34th year anniversary.
Joe Mixon, number 34. Giannis, number 34.
Joe Mixon.
What? What?
It's a little different. It's a little different. Joe Mixon. Giannis
said to bring it back.
Now, Giannis is legitimately
okay,
one
fine.
Of the few players.
Andrew Beck, number 34. Like, really, like, you know, bring back the tradition of number 34.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a fullback.
Hey, he scored a touchdown last year.
He did. I can't return.
All right. The Warriors got knocked out of the playoffs last night.
Hell yeah.
How many sports franchises were recently or still bigger enemies of Houston sports? We'll get to that next and take your reaction at 713-780-3776. It's Glant and George broadcasting live from Highway Cantina in Edo.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Highway Cantina in Edo with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
All right, J.P. France escapes the first inning, so Astros about to come to bat in the bottom of the first. How many sports franchises are still big enemies or bigger enemies of Houston sports, like the Warriors? Because there was a parade on Twitter last night amongst Houston sports fans. I think rightfully so, celebrating the demise of the Golden State Warriors. That even though you did not really take part in it, the Warriors getting knocked out of the playoffs.
And not just getting knocked out, they got smoked.
Yeah. And very likely now the Sacramento Kings, without Zion on Friday night when they play them, Sacramento might be the 8th seed in the playoffs. So the Warriors' dynasty appears to have crumbled. This appears to be it. Klay Thompson's a free agent this offseason.
He stunk, too. 0 points,
not
0
good.
For 10 from the field. 0 for 10.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been nice if he was like that against the Rockets the last game that he played.
Yeah.
This might be his last good career game. But they got smoked, 118-94. That's embarrassing, especially with Draymond talking up the play-in tournament. Pretty funny to see Yusuf Nurkic put the end of Looney Tunes. That's all, folks.
I did enjoy that.
So they are dead. I wonder if the Rangers are now number one. The Yankees and Dodgers are probably tied for number two.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Atlanta Braves are three.
Yeah.
I mean, mainly because of that World Series, a little recency. You don't play him that much, but we heard a lot about Juan Soto. There's still some scars from that.
Yeah, I would say it's number one. You're right, it's the Rangers. Number two, I would say, is the Yankees. Number three, and they're number three behind the Yankees only because of the frequency in which you play them, I put the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess after that.
Then you got to, I think, look at NFL. Because I think that, for baseball, I think that is it. Like the Mariners, they don't resonate.
The Titans. I think the Titans is up there because of the jerseys, the history.
Said by two men who are wearing an Oilers hat, give us our jerseys back.
But, like, I think there's. I don't know where else you want to go with the NFL because, like, I don't view Jacksonville as that.
Jacksonville's definitely not it.
Indianapolis is not that.
Indianapolis could have been it. I think if the Colts beat the Texans in the regular season finale and made the playoffs, the Colts would be back on the list.
Yeah.
Because no one owned the Texans the way that the Indianapolis Colts did, especially during the Peyton Manning era. But, I mean, hell, these teams played in the playoff game and the Colts smoked them. And it was with Deshaun Watson under center. You go back to that playoff game, 21-7. Watson looked so bad in that game. And I remember everyone got mad at me because I said Watson looked like ass. Everyone was saying, oh, it's Bill Ryan's fault. Nope, Watson stunk in that game. He couldn't pick up blitzes from cornerbacks. You got eyeballs. Come on, bro.
Yeah.
So to go back to NFL, the Titans, it's like you hate that they are owned by who they're owned.
Uh-huh.
And that they're doing the stuff with the uniforms. But there's no moments of sports pain that the Titans have created on a football field other than the misery that the Oilers gave you back in the day as Yordan Alvarez goes yard.
Yeah, it takes it right to the Crawford boxes.
Let's go.
1-0, bottom of the first. Altuve got out, I think, on one pitch. But
see? Helping you out. Are you going back to where you were before with Jeremy Booth? He's the number two batter. Get a home run. Remember, the season just started today, April 17th. This is the first day of the season.
Yep.
Today is the best day of your life, and the Astros are now up 1-0 on opening day.
I mean,
at Highway Cantina.
If Jose Altuve wasn't the leadoff man, maybe it's 2-0. So maybe Jeremy Booth's got a point about the lineup construction. I'm trying to think of who else would be on that list. We got a text here, and I was going to go this way too, from the 832. The Spurs. They're not there. It's kind of faded a little bit.
I think it's because you hate Spurs fans. It's sort of the same way where you hate Cowboys fans.
But the Wemby celebrating that the Rockets didn't get the number one pick last year.
Yeah, but.
And how good he's going to be. I think the Spurs are going to quickly elevate back up that list of hated rivalries.
I mean, Wemby looked great this year.
Yeah.
But the Spurs sucked.
They did suck.
They seem far away from contention to the point where, like, we're talking maybe 2 years away from being where the Rockets are right now, even with Wemby.
Cowboys, do you consider them in this category?
I think, like with Spurs fans, you hate Spurs fans. You see a lot of them. I think with Cowboys fans, the ones who are really annoying, you see them.
Yeah.
But can you really hate a team that hasn't done a damn thing since 95?
No.
I mean, you
don't play them enough.
You have, over the history of the Texans' existence, you have had similar success from a winning playoff games perspective, from a winning divisions perspective.
Yeah.
I think there's a Houston-Dallas thing, no doubt about it. But I think that the hatred is really more directed towards the fans of those teams with the Spurs and with the Cowboys. Cause they're
do you feel the Yankees and Dodgers are similar to that, though? I don't know if the players
But you played them in games that mattered.
That mattered. That's true.
Like what's the last time that the Texans and Cowboys played each other in a game that mattered? You know,
I think it'll be this year. It'll be the first
time. 2014, where J.J. Watt missed the sack at Tony Romo when he throws that touchdown pass at the very end.
Like, yeah,
it's one of those things where you haven't gone up against them enough for them to deliver you sports heartbreak. If there was a Super Bowl between the teams,
yeah,
and they played each other in the regular season, or if it was an annual kind of deal. Then, okay, or if they're in the same division, sure. That's the problem here. Instead, it's more of a continuation of Houston-Dallas, where Astros-Rangers right now, like, you've played each other in some pretty important series. There was a big break in between 2015 and this year, season. So I think it's different for the Rangers. They're in your division, and you see them a lot. And, of course, now they've beaten you in a important playoff series.
Is there anyone in the outside the AFC South that stands out to you, like in the AFC that could be a team?
The Patriots probably were for a moment in time. Ravens, that's a good one. Like the Ravens have beaten the Texans in the playoffs twice,
and you get them if you play them this year,
both times.
You play them this year again in the regular season. If you both finish in the same spot in the playoffs, you could play again next year,
right,
in 2025. That seems like one, with the way that this season ended at the start of the C.J. Stroud era, if you get Baltimore next year and that first time you play them, I kind of feel like Baltimore might kind of be towards the top of that list.
Definitely, and I would say, amazingly too, the Kansas City Chiefs have beaten you in the playoffs twice too.
Yeah.
With Alex Smith against Brian Hoyer, with J.J. Watt out of the J.J. Watt cat from the goal line right before they fumbled, and then, of course, the 24-7 lead. So the Chiefs have given it to you.
The problem is you need to give some back.
Right. The Ravens, Chiefs, and the Patriots used to be in the same kind of conversation where you hate that they just bully you.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't bully you enough to be on the same level as the Rangers. And on top of that, like specifically Adolis Garcia, who bullies the Astros every single game he plays against them.
All right, our 10-minute drill is next. We are broadcasting live from Highway Cantina in Edo. Astros up 1-0 in the bottom of the first. It is Glant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Broadcasting live from Highway Cantina in Edo, Gallant George. We'll be out here all day till 6. The Killer Bees will be here from 3 to 6, of course.
Uh-huh.
Here's Joel and Brian out here today. So we talked about the Bill Belichick stuff a little bit earlier. So you definitely believe that it's not – you hope it's not true.
I hope
Bill
it's not
Belichick,
true.
That Robert Kraft was calling the Falcons.
I believe it's true. I think you could have maybe said that, no, the documentary just got out of Robert Kraft's hands and Apple TV was looking for the most dramatic things possible to highlight. But these two stories – I'm not going to be like many Patriots fans saying ESPN lies as JP France just got taken to outer space. It's a 1-1 game for Astros and Braves.
Lovely. Hype videos are a thing right now amongst the NFL because I've got a bunch of new uniforms. The Jets got new uniforms.
To Ozuna.
Yikes. But the Browns put out a hype video today, Paul.
The Browns put out a hype video to announce that they're making their face masks white.
Awesome.
I want to laugh, but Joe...
I watched the hype video 3 times before I finally figured out what was changing.
Joe...
I didn't get it.
Joe... They should have never gotten away from the white face masks, because they had brown face masks for the last couple of years.
Agreed.
But... this is like when the Houston Texans hyped up adding a logo patch to the back of the jersey above the nameplate.
I remember.
Which they already had above, right underneath the collar.
Well, I think I got hyped.
I love Vandy, but damn it, Vandy, that was, what were you doing there? Come on,
dude. It
bro.
Was so tough because like there were other people at the flagship when we were there that were really pumping it up, and I think they were being lied to. I think they were being told that like there was a big time change coming.
I do too.
And then they saw it, and they were just like, dude, like what is this?
What indeed?
But yeah, they white face masks.
It'll look better.
It will look better. I just don't understand the need for the hype video behind it.
Well, you got to have a hype video with everything. Look, you got to have a hype video if you're the Cleveland Browns for the fact that, hey, maybe Deshaun Watson was playing with an injury from week 3 to week 10.
Yeah.
I saw a story where...
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
The Browns training staff, and something that does remind me a little bit of the Houston Astros training staff, apparently Deshaun Watson had a shoulder injury in week 3, which they said he actually suffered in week 10.
Yeah.
So, potentially, you got an excuse now built in for why Deshaun Watson stunk so much last year. And the year before that, you have a reason for Deshaun Watson stinking. It was, hey, well, he was rusty because, like, he just wasn't allowed to play for the first 11 games for some reason.
Yeah, I kind of hear an excuse. I don't really buy the injury stuff. Patrick Mahomes was recently doing an interview, kind of pushed on, you know, the GOAT question stuff. He pushed back. He knows that he's not at the top of this conversation. He acknowledged his start to his career and that, like, as an on-pace guy, he's on pace to probably be up there as the number one quarterback of all time. But he acknowledged that he's not at the top right now.
Good.
Which, good.
Good. He knows his place.
Well, he's
not a half man, half god like Tom Brady.
He's got a long way to go. He's got a lot of Super Bowls left to win.
He knows he's married to Brittany Mahomes. I mean, he knows that his brother's Jackson. I mean, he knows that he's just not Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No, talent-wise, he's probably better.
I would actually agree there. It's one of the things with Aaron Rodgers and with Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. You can argue that those two players are more skilled than Tom Brady was.
They're two of the best.
Brady's wits, Brady's mind was what set him apart.
No, there's the Moss year, which is like it's obviously the greatest single season we've ever seen from a quarterback.
And he's had a couple of seasons like that too with Rob Gronkowski. But I like that Mahomes is still humble too. He said that he's had at least one of the top three starts to a career.
Yeah.
He brought up Peyton Manning. He brought up Aaron Rodgers. He brought up Brady.
It's not just about Super Bowl wins.
He says he's got a lot to do, and he has to continue on a year-to-year basis. Is it fake humbleness with Mahomes a la Taylor Swift at this point in her career where she's coming out to the concert? She's like, oh, my God, I can't believe so many people are into me. I'm a billionaire. Maybe. Maybe there's a little bit of overdone humbleness for the sake of humility for the sake of not seeming like an a-hole, but Mahomes legitimately to me seems like a guy that would be actually cool with just another guy like ourselves. Say we met him out in the wild. I feel like he actually would be like very nice, very respectful.
All right, so I'm trying to, I don't want to cheat here, but I want to make sure that I can answer this next question accordingly, right? So, do you have the pronunciation for
this? I actually don't, so you're going to have to pretend that you're confident here.
Okay,
because
so
there's a Jaguars player who said something, and Joe George, who's not good at math and...
Not good at names.
Isn't really... Maybe he can't read. It's fine. Hey...
I can read. I can't do names.
This Jaguars linebacker...
Okay, Foye?
That sounds right.
Oluwakin.
You know what? I think you got it.
So I'm trying to see now if I can find a Wikipedia.
Oluwakin. Foye Oluwakin. Unlike the guy that the Texans signed.
I don't even remember his name at this point.
Damn, dude.
It's been
that's
so
racist.
Long
I can't believe
since
it.
They signed that guy.
I can't believe
Name, pronunciation. You're Googling Texans signed defensive players.
Folorunso Fatukasi.
How to pronounce.com. No, but see, that doesn't help me. It's trying to speak it to me. I don't want to speak it to me. I'm just going to assume I got
it right. They call him Foley Fatu Kasi, but his real name is Fuller Unsu Fatu Kasi.
Yeah,
so like the Jaguars have some guys with some difficult to pronounce names.
Yeah, but so he was asked about this Jags linebacker, Foye, was talking about the last season for the Jags. He talked
their
about
their choke job down the stretch where they lost, what, 7 of 8?
Mm-hmm. He says it'll fuel them for the future. That's great. I just don't buy it. I think I'm out on Trevor.
It's
he's
like
the
fuel for that plane. Did you see that airline, Wizz Airlines? They're going to use biosolids for fuel.
That seems like a bad idea.
The last plane I want to get on is a plane that goes by Wizz Airlines. Wizz. Because, you know,
yeah.
Sometimes you got to go Wizz. Wizz Airlines is an airline that's going to be powered by biofuel. And, yeah, the Jaguars are going to be powered by their... very poopy finish of the season last year.
Yeah, good luck with that. I'm very confident that the Texans or Colts are going to win this division, and the other one will finish second place.
Hell
this
yeah,
year.
Dude.
I got a Doug Peterson being fired ticket. I think I'm about putting down for this season. And if the Jags miss the playoffs,
yeah.
I would imagine they would fire him.
Well, who would they hire though?
Yeah, it's
they're not going to do better than Doug Peterson.
Bobby.
Bill Belichick?
Bill Belichick as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You know, he would
awesome.
Be he would be on the water.
Would he be okay with moving to London?
I don't know if he's a London
yeah,
guy.
I don't know. I don't feel like Bill. Bill's
I think
a
Bill
London
Belichick
guy.
Would actually have the power to keep them from moving to London.
Yeah.
But Belichick, he's a big boat guy. Jacksonville's on the water.
True.
Sneaky underrated beaches in
yep.
Jacksonville.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never been to Jacksonville.
I went for Super Bowl 39.
Okay.
And I never felt the need to go back.
The beaches were so great. That
well, we didn't get to go to the beaches.
Never wants to go back.
I know the beaches in Jacksonville are pretty good. I have wanted to go back to Jacksonville for the world's largest outdoor cocktail party since I'm a Florida fan. I've wanted to watch the Florida-Georgia game. But the problem is now that Georgia is so much better than Florida that it would basically be just showing up for a murder.
Okay.
I don't want that.
All right, it's Glon George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Astros are tied 1-1, going to the bottom of the second inning. J.P. France gave up a tank shot, but he got out of it.
Why did they pitch to Marcelo Ozuna? We said that going into the series. What are you doing? He's the best hitter in baseball this year. What are you doing? Just you can intentionally walk him. There's no one on base.
You got to pitch to him sometimes.
No, you don't. You actually don't.
I know you don't, but no one actually operates that
no,
way.
No, they should operate that way.
Oh, I know, but like.
If the guy's hitting that well, like, why are you challenging him? You're J.P. France. He's Marcelo Ozuna. He's a good hitter already.
Yeah, but that's like the Rangers the other day. Like, they felt the need to pitch to Altuve and Yordan. Eventually, they stopped.
Oh, well, eventually it happens, but it doesn't happen all the time.
I know.
No, we said this going into the
series.
I
know, but I don't want them to be soft boys.
Joe, no. Spencer Arrigan,
don't be a soft boy.
The peanut gallery yeah. is saying
the
don't be soft
boy. The peanut gallery agrees with me.
I'm standing
don't be a
firmly
soft
in the pocket.
Boy.
No, listen. You're J.P. France. You're Spencer Arrigan. You're Hunter Brown. And I get it. Arrigan and Brown had some success against him.
What did they do?
They had some success against him. But we both said, going into the series, none of these guys should pitch to Marcelo Ozuna.
I know.
The only person who should pitch to him is Josh Hader. And even there, I mean, looking at the back of the baseball card, I'm not feeling so hot about him against Ozuna. But... no one should pitch to Marcelo Ozuna. He's the best hitter in baseball right now, today, April 17th, 2024.
All right. Just a reminder, Justin Verlander makes his Astros return and debut for the 2024 season on
Friday
against the Washington Nationals. Is there still hatred for the Nationals in that hated teams category because it's 2019?
Yes. Yes, because they stink now. They don't deserve that championship.
Know,
it's like the Marlins winning it.
They're so bad now. They got rid of all their good players. They got nothing left. We are broadcasting live from Highway Cantina in Edo. We'll be out here until 6 o'clock. If you're not out here today, there will be two more opportunities to come see us at least in the next 2 months. We'll be back out here in May and in June. So plenty of opportunities to come hang out with the boys at Highway Cantina. And today until 6, it's Glon George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Back
to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Highway Cantina in Edo.
You know, Paul, not all heroes wear capes. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
And there's a new hero amongst us representing the NFL, not Boban, even though he did get free chicken to everyone, him and Jose Altuve. But Brock Purdy is a hero, Paul. And he was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday talking about John Deere tractors.
Right, because he was doing a John Deere tractor commercial.
Yes. And then he told this story here about how, well, he, Brock Purdy, he is a real American hero.
Back on his tractor, but this lady right here, I watched his video this morning. She said, I just happened upon Brock Purdy and a couple offensive linemen and John Deere tractors in the middle of San Francisco. And then funny story, I was walking my dog away, and I hear Brock Purdy yell, "Coyote!" I turn around, biggest coyote I ever seen was stalking me and my dog or whatever. You saved a life, you saved a dog, you shot a John Deere tractor commercial in San Francisco, you're pick 262, leading a team to the Super Bowl in your second year. You're a magic man, Brock. Keep going, brother. We appreciate the hell out of you.
Appreciate you guys. Yeah, I can't believe that was a real thing. But, yeah, she walked by, and then sure enough, she said she's a news anchor. And I was like, dude, I just saved a news anchor's life from getting eaten by a coyote. But it's real, man. I can confirm it. So
she said that coyote was, like, the biggest. She said, like, big-ass guy. I didn't know San Francisco had coyote. What the hell is going on over there?
Same.
I didn't either, dude. We're shooting this commercial by a hill on the outside of the city. And I see this thing, you know, trotting by, and it had a long tail. I was like, bro, it looks like a mini wolf. And sure enough, no one was going to scream. And I was like, all right. And so I screamed, and I was like, yo, there's a coyote. And that thing went running off. But, yeah, it could have been an ugly day on the shoot, but we saved her.
Hey, that's Brock Purdy football.
That's right.
That's Brock Purdy football out there. Purdy, Purdy, Purdy.
All right, we can be done with these chipmunks. First of all, I also agree. I didn't know there was coyotes in San Francisco. I don't know a lot about San Francisco.
There's coyotes everywhere.
I don't know.
San Francisco's overrun by homeless. You're surprised that there's coyotes there, too?
That's true.
It's the epic wilderness in the entirety of downtown.
But it really just – what it does is, first of all, congrats to Brock Purdy for being a real American hero. A real underdog story. But it really just brings one simple question to the show today, Paul.
What's that?
What's the biggest animal you think you could kill?
I could kill a coyote. Coyotes are soft.
And the way they're describing this coyote looks like it's like a wolf.
Coyotes will stay away from humans generally. This is not a wolf. It's not a wolf. It's not wired the same way as a wolf. Mm-hmm. Like a wolf one-on-one versus me, the wolf's probably winning.
Yep.
Coyotes are scared. You could take down a coyote. They're in between like bigger, not the biggest, bigger dogs and wolves in terms of size. They're not very big. So, yeah, I think I could kill a coyote.
They said this coyote looked like a wolf. So I know coyote's not normally big.
Well, that's Brock Purdy saying that.
What are you saying?
That's Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy saying that. Yeah. Not the biggest quarterback.
Well, he's got that Iowa State education, which I'm sure is top-notch up in Ames, Iowa.
Purdy school. Race Royce White.
Okay, so where do you go next? How high can you go? Like a baby wolf?
There are certain sharks that I wonder about.
Okay. Okay.
Not talking bull
shark. So not a great white.
Not talking
not a bull
mako.
Shark.
Not talking bull. Great white. Not a hammerhead. Blue sharks are called the wolves of the sea. They are vicious creatures. But I feel like they, from a size perspective, that if I bam, 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 hit in the head a couple times, I'd have a chance. Still not liking the fact that I'm in the ocean.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a big ocean guy.
I get nervous when I'm in the ocean because of sharks.
Okay. Learn something new every day. Huh. 281 says a raccoon could take Paulie out.
I'd punt it into outer space. What are you talking about?
They are real gross.
They're small animals. I mean, like, I might get the rabies or something like that, and that might kill me eventually. But I would punt a raccoon into outer space.
Who wins that fight, though?
They're so small.
Like, if you kill the raccoon, but the raccoon gives you rabies.
Because you
won first.
I mean, if you watched Game of Thrones, the spoiler alert, the mountain and the viper,
uh-huh.
Even though the mountain technically died and became a zombie,
yeah.
The mountain won.
Yeah, because he squished the other guy's brain.
He killed him first.
That's fair.
So
okay.
That's how it goes.
Yeah, he won in order.
Yep.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah, a raccoon, like... I would like to see what you look like and make my own judgments based off of yourself.
A possum? I just wouldn't want to.
These possums, you should never. Possums are fine. Possums are possums take care of insects.
Okay.
And they're totally harmless.
So they're okay.
Yes, they're yeah. That's mean that you wouldn't think about doing that to a possum.
They're nasty looking.
Yeah, they're gross looking, but they're not mean animals.
I try to think. What else? I mean, how big will you go?
The animals. I heard someone say Wolverine. The animals that are being discussed right now, like these are ones that you could like legitimately pick up and punt.
Throw. Yeah.
You could punt them. Like,
okay,
stop.
So
let's we gotta get to.
Right,
we gotta get
okay.
to.
So how long would you last versus a bear?
Oh,
let's
I
go
lose.
To the extreme.
No, it's over. It's over.
How long would you last?
It's over.
You got 2 minutes in you. A minute, 30 seconds.
Kind of depends on where they attack me with their massive claws, you know, or and bite with their massive teeth. If it goes that route, there are certain cats where I'm curious. I'm talking about like whatever the smallest version of a cougar is.
Okay,
mountain lion. Because I don't think, like, jaguar, no. Leopard,
yep.
No. Tiger, no.
But the smallest
lion,
version of that.
No. But there are some mountain lions it's, like, in a... It would probably be size-wise in between a wolf and the coyote that we're talking about.
What about a bobcat?
Yeah, I think I'd kill a bobcat.
You think you could take out a bobcat?
Yeah. I punt in the face. Just
dude, you know what this reminds me?
I'm using my feet for a lot of these things, and I'm just punting it into outer space with my big old donk.
Yeah, I think one thing I've learned here is that your feet are your biggest ally, unless
you're
in the ocean.
You should use your – if you're going up against one of these animals, just smash – like kick it in the head.
Dude, they –
Well, they launch for it, you know, and you just go soccer style, bam,
yeah.
Kick them.
You do have that. You do have an advantage in that way.
Right. Like they can't – like they – like a horse I don't know if – see, horse would be an interesting one. Horse would probably kill it.
But what about donkey?
Donkey's definitely killing you.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's just going to go around in a circle and try to just... Donkey just got to hit you once in the head.
So you could just get like a mini pony is what you're saying.
It's like little Sebastian from... yes. Yeah. Like, little Sebastian and bam, put him in the face, he's dead.
Like that's like your...
Dead.
That's your peak horse that you would challenge.
People are disputing the bobcat. I don't think a bobcat would F me up. I've seen bobcats before. They're not that big.
Okay.
And their mouths aren't that big either.
No.
Their paws are big. It would scratch me, that's for sure.
Yes.
But yeah. No. See, I'm not going Arian Foster here saying I could kill a wolf. Arian Foster did that once.
Yeah.
I'm not going that far. A wolf would kill me, 100%. But like, there are some of these cats, wild cats.
I feel like you're okay.
I think I'd have a chance. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just say whatever you said. I'll agree with, except for the shark. I'm not trying to go into someone else's territory like that.
Wild boar. Wild boar's winning. Wild boar's got the horns. Those are big.
Yeah, I mean, also
if I have a weapon,
hand instead also a 500-pound wild boar.
If I had a weapon, I would feel better about the boar.
Well, duh, that's cheating.
Right. Well,
that's
like no, I mean like a spear. A spear or something like that.
Yeah, but like,
well, it's got natural talent.
Yeah, but we're talking
like
this is hand-to-hand combat we're talking about.
Hand-to-animal
combat.
I would still take the boar even if you had a spear, because you actually have to connect with the spear.
Oh, F you, B-Mac. F you.
You got one shot.
That's true.
You got one shot.
I am an athlete.
You don't have to throw the spear.
Yeah, just
you
go bam.
Jab, jab, jab.
Or punch him in the face. Could do that again.
Yeah, but they have the horns on their face.
I don't think you're knocking out a boar with your fist.
No, that's why I'm using my foot. Foot. I'm just going to kick it. Bam. Bam. Polly versus a hummingbird. One smack. Dead. What are you talking about? That's disrespectful. Paul versus a jackrabbit. I would punt that one into orbit. Come on.
Yeah, you got to catch it, though. You got to be able to make contact.
We played a football team my senior year of high school. Check that. Junior year of high school in the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
That we found out in a new Sports Illustrated article 3 weeks later. These kids were barefoot running through the sugarcane fields of Florida and catching, while barefoot, rabbits with their bare hands.
and we played these kids in football. What do you think happened?
You lost?
We lost 63-6.
Yeah.
They had two 99-yard fumble return touchdowns on us. Two!
Yeah.
How does that happen?
That's tough, Paul. That's a tough
one. I'm glad I busted my hip flexor in practice that week. I played five plays, and I'm so glad I did not stay that game. I tried to play. I was like, my leg doesn't move. And, yeah, we got smoked.
And you were just like, you're not really feeling it today. Ooh. So you're going
to. This is an interesting one. Paul versus a beaver. See, if a beaver bites you once, you're out.
Yep.
So I think, with a bobcat and some of these jungle cats, it would kind of depend on where they get you. But, those beaver teeth, it's one, you're bleeding everywhere. Especially if they get you in the leg. Those are strong-ass teeth.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we've got a pretty good list here.
Some alligators. Depends on the size.
Hard pass. Don't even want to try it.
How big of an alligator do you think you're taking out?
Well, have you seen? They're not all that big.
I know. That's what I'm asking. How big of an alligator are we talking about?
I'd say at 4 to 6 feet, I'd have a chance.
4 feet, I'd give you a chance. Once it gets up to six, yeah. I don't know, man.
Well, see,
are you fighting them on land or in the water? Because that's a key element here.
Not in the water. No, it's over. It's over from the water.
How's your speed? Do you feel like you could take...
Are you kidding me? Did you just ask me that question?
Yes. How do you feel
Gators are quick and short distances.
How do you feel like you would do against a rattlesnake?
Ooh, that one's tough.
Now, because I will say, I did watch a 10-year-old kill a rattlesnake on Yellowstone last night. I just started it.
But he had a gun, right?
No, he stepped on it.
Oh, he stepped on it.
Dad just left him behind in a little tunnel, and there was a rattlesnake there. He stepped on it a bunch.
Yeah, they're really great parents on that show.
It's real great parents.
Multiple generations of
terrible
parents.
All I know is I'm three episodes into Yellowstone, and they are the worst parents I've seen since probably...
Oh, my God, they're so bad.
Probably Sons of Anarchy.
Every single parent in that show is an effing disaster.
Yeah, they're all pretty bad. Because at least, the parents in Game of Thrones, they love their kids. They just died before the kids could really do anything. These parents on Yellowstone are just atrocious.
They're really bad.
They're very, very
bad. Call Child Protective Services.
All right, what do you despise as much as we despise Dana Brown and Jeff Bagwell pushing the back of a baseball card? That's next on Glatt & George, broadcasting live from Highway Cantina in Edo.
ESPN 97.5.